I guess the best way to describe government policy is like a person trying to drive a car in a rough patch. If you ever get stuck in a situation like that, you know full well it's important not to overcorrect. Because when you overcorrect, you end up in the ditch.
Well, maybe that's the best way to describe policy. But after the Bear Stearns bailout and the rate cut rally, is the tow truck here to pull us from that ditch? Not for most of us. The Dow is lurching up and down. As you just heard from Ilya Meretz on the news, tens of thousands of New Yorkers have lost their jobs on Wall Street recently. Thousands of others worry about their mortgages and who'll bail them out. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve Board shows a rare division over what to do next. New York Times business columnist Gretchen Morgenson is back to help us understand the moment better. Gretchen, thanks for coming back on WNYC today. Good morning.
Wow, that's a tall order, Brian. I don't know if I can do that.
Somebody's got to do
it. Thing, wow, it's very complicated.
I know. I can't do it. That's why I turned to you. And
I thought
your article in the Sunday Business section was a must read.
Oh, thank you.
And you referred to the Federal Reserve as having a rescues are us doctrine. Does it really have such a doctrine?
Well, it's an interesting moment, Brian, because we are seeing them really act as a kind of facilitator to make sure that a brokerage firm, one of the larger brokerage firms in New York, does not go bankrupt. And that's kind of an unusual role for them to play. Only 20 years ago, in the Drexel Burnham Lambert disaster, they allowed that brokerage firm to go bankrupt. And so things have changed mightily in these 20 years. And trying to understand what that means for us going forward is a little bit tricky, but it does sort of lay down a marker as for what the government will not allow to happen anymore. And it is because we have become, all of the major brokerage firms and banks have become so intertwined, and the securities and trades that they have with each other are so interrelated that if one even relatively medium-sized player is threatened with failure, the ripple effect or the domino effect is so potentially damaging to the rest of the street and the financial world that they can't let it fail.
So do you think the rescues are us doctrine, which sounds like a sarcastic framing, is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's one of those, a little bit of both. I hate to do that to you, but I mean, obviously, the Fed knows far more about the intricacies of the interrelationships that Bear Stearns had with other banks than I do. And one can only assume that they thought that a bankruptcy filing would have been far more damaging. It certainly would have damaged confidence considerably. I think that that is something that has been damaged by government officials' utterances throughout this whole mess, that everything was fine. And, you know, for months, as you remember, we were seeing officials trot out and say that the subprime mortgage meltdown was, quote, contained, was not going to, spill over into the overall economy. We now see that that's absolutely flawed. And so who can you trust really has become an issue. So the confidence problem was a, I'm sure, huge player in this bailout.
By the way, you wrote that piece before the J.P. Morgan takeover of Bear Stearns at just $2 a share. Does that make it less of a bailout since the value of Bear Stearns as its own entity got destroyed in the process?
Absolutely. It is, however, a bailout of the counterparties or the relationships with other firms on the street that Bear Stearns had. That is really what the bailout is all about. Yes, the shareholders of Bear Stearns, which include masses of employees, which my heart goes out to them, are really looking at a tremendous loss here, $2 a share. It's a huge hit to them. And so, yes, that is not the bailout. When I wrote the story, the stock was at $30, and it looked as though the Fed was going to give the firm 28 days to get something done. So that looked a lot more like a kind of backstop or financial support. But it changed dramatically on Sunday.
And when we're done with you in about 10 minutes, we will have a call in for anyone who has lost your job on Wall Street recently, and that certainly includes anyone who is now losing your job at Bear Stearns or anyone in the mortgage sector in particular. We would love to hear from you. In fact, you can get in line right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And just tell us what you're doing. What are you going to do next? Are you going to learn Chinese to work in the next market or what? And are you going to, what lessons do you take from this whole thing with your experience on Wall Street and being laid off? 212-433-9692. Gretchen Morgenson from the New York Times with us. And as I understand it, Gretchen, the Fed is also allowing other banks to exchange lower-rated mortgage debt for higher-rated treasury debt. Is that another kind of bailout or federal guarantee of higher-risk mortgage loans?
It is a federal guarantee. In fact, a part of the Bear Stearns JP Morgan deal involves the Fed guaranteeing $30 billion worth of the mortgages and other securities that Bear holds on its books. So if those are produced losses, then the taxpayer will ultimately be on the hook for up to $30 billion worth of those securities. So that is also an aspect of this that it has a bailout odor to it.
And I've read that banks don't have to disclose those transactions. Do you know if that's right?
Which transactions?
Well,
with the Fed, you mean?
Yeah.
It's not exactly something that they brag about, because it sort of, again, goes back to the confidence issue. Do they want to be seen as going to Uncle Ben for help, Bernanke?
Well, is that okay? I mean, does that put anyone else, including the taxpayers, at risk if these transactions are not transparent?
Well, I think the taxpayer is plenty at risk, and it simply is another element that makes everybody unsure about kind of where our footing is. It's very difficult. For the past year, we've been told that these securities were not going to be as problematic as some people thought, that they were worth more than many people were saying, and yet every time we hear about another big headline incident, the mortgage's securities value seems to go down again. So it's, again, a matter of what we've been told has not been really revelatory and not helpful, and certainly has not helped with the problem in transparency with this entire market.
So after the Bear Stearns bailout and sale and the rate cut rally yesterday, plus Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers showing earnings better than feared, is the worst of the economic crisis over?
You know, the stock market is a wonderful optimistic device because, of course, if you buy stocks, you are hoping that they go up. I think it's far too early to feel that we are at the beginning of the end, because, again, it's a trust factor. And are we at a point where we can really trust our officials and the leaders of these major financial institutions to really tell us the truth about their holdings? I have yet to feel that confident about that. I'm still in the show-me state. So I am not at all certain that we are, off to the races again. And the consumer and the problems that the consumer is seeing with foreclosures rampant and delinquencies rampant is another real problem that the economy has to face.
Let's talk about the consumer, the little guy. I've heard a few people say this week that the Fed is missing at least one piece, if I understand it correctly, that they should be buying up remaining mortgage debt directly. I think Erwin Kellner said that from MarketWatch, and someone wrote it in the Financial Times. Do you get that? Are they suggesting that the Fed bail out homeowners directly?
Well, here's the situation. It is a market that is enormous, as you know. It is very important. People need to buy and sell homes. You know, you get transferred in your job. You need to be able to sell one home, buy another. But it is a market that is at a standstill. It is frozen. There are very few mortgages being written, and no investor has an appetite to buy a mortgage security today. So we really are in a place where everything is stopped, and that's very unhealthy. You have to have markets, willing to move. People have to buy and sell. So to the degree that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could go in and buy these mortgages, that is their job. They're supposed to do that. They're supposed to be the people that go in and make this market work, make it liquid, make the mortgages something that they can purchase.
And they're not doing that?
And they are not doing that.
Why?
Because they don't have the capital to do so, and because they have been You know, the amount that they can buy has been capped by a government regulator who is rightly worried about their accounting problems that they had several years back. So it's kind of a perfect storm, you know. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac should be in here buying securities with both hands. That's their job. That's their mandate.
Well, are they government agencies? And if the government really wanted to have them do that, could they do that with taxpayer dollars?
They could, but again, it's another moral hazard risk. Is the taxpayer going to be put on the hook ultimately for these things? Yes, they are government-sponsored enterprises. They are not backed by the full faith and credit of Uncle Sam, but they are supposed to, you know, they're quasi-government agencies, so they are supposed to be in there buying mortgages to make this market work. And, you know, because of their accounting shenanigans of recent years and because of the, you know, concerns about taxpayer bailout, they're kind of constrained. It's a very difficult position. They must raise capital.
Gretchen Morgenson from the New York Times with us for another few minutes, business columnist who had a great piece on Sunday in the business section about bailouts and some of the underlying principles in the current crisis. David Leonhardt in the Times has another excellent one, by the way, an explainer on page one today. But what about the homeowners? I mean, if the bank comes to my house and wants to foreclose, I'm going to tell them my name is Bear Stearns.
Well, you know, isn't it a sad state of affairs where, you know, the big and powerful and rich institutions get assistance and the mom and pop poor person doesn't? I mean, I think that that's a very sad kind of, conclusion that one draws from this kind of a thing. And while you can understand it because the big powerful institutions have the impact, the big powerful impact, and their failures would have ripple effects that are, you know, very hard to fathom. It is very, very unfortunate that the same people that got us into the ditch, to paraphrase the president, are now sort of being helped more than those who really could use help, i.e. the homeowners who really maybe didn't understand the mortgage they were taking on or were, you know, had a smooth-talking salesman, sign them on promising further rate cuts that would allow them to refinance at a lower price later. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
I also read a suggestion that bad credit card debt might be the next domino to fall. Do you see a risk there?
I think so. Another unfortunate thing that developed, a couple years ago in 2005 bankruptcy reform was that you cannot discharge your credit card debt anymore. And so people are really going to be on the hook for it. It's very difficult to get rid of it. And so, oddly, what we are seeing now, Brian, is people are paying their credit card debt down and not paying their mortgages because they understand that they can't discharge their credit card debt. It's a very difficult position.
So you conclude your article saying the banks don't have the money for all the bailouts being promised. So the taxpayers, again and alas, will have to do it. Sounds like you think the taxpayers should actually be called on to do more than we are right now.
I don't think they should. I think it's a mess that is not of our making. It's just that we're always the bag holder. I mean, it's always the way. And I am not advocating it at all, but I just see that as that's going to be the ultimate answer. And it is deeply disturbing.
And just let me come back to homeowners for a minute, because your answer sounded like there was an inevitability to homeowners who are having trouble with their mortgages getting screwed here or at least left behind. But we hear things from the Bush administration. We hear proposals from Hillary Clinton for these various kinds of rate freezes. Maybe bringing rates down as low as the Fed has done is the same thing, because these adjustable rate mortgages now aren't going up as high as they would have. But at the same time, the rest of the things are voluntary measures that I don't think anybody really expects the banks to take up the call.
That's right. And these voluntary measures, if you look at the actual numbers that are coming out of the mortgage servicers, you know, the numbers of deals that are being struck with borrowers are very minimal compared to the numbers of delinquencies and foreclosures. So much more has to be done. And, you know, of course, the politicians will get up on their legs and talk about what should be done. But actually getting down and doing it, very difficult to do one by one by one. This is an individual problem that has to be worked out in each individual loan. I mean, it is a mess.
Gretchen Morgenson, business columnist for The New York Times. Thanks so much for coming on.
All righty, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now a call in for anyone who has recently lost a job on Wall Street. About 30,000 of you are probably out there, though I know you're not all listening. But if you are, give us a call. Talk about your experience, what you're going to do next, what lessons you learned from this particular economic bubble and bust that led to your layoff. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. A call in for anyone who has recently lost your job on Wall Street, and we'll take your calls after this.